This is a chapel tape for October 20th, 1961. Dr. Oliver is speaking.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And Jesus taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had not much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. May we pray. Almighty God, thou who hast created us in thine own image and hast called us into thy service, bless now this seminary family that we may be good stewards of our service in this institution. We pray thy blessings upon the faculty, the administration, the students, upon all who contribute to the life of this corporate enterprise, that each of us may perform our separate functions in such a way that the whole institution may do thy will and bring glory and honor to thy name. We would remember as we pray those whose circumstances are difficult, those of our seminary family who are experiencing illness and grief. May thy blessings come to those in rich measure. We pray for those of our seminary family who must come here under dire circumstances and spend their time in financial need. We pray thy blessing upon these, that their needs may be met by thy power. We pray for our constituency to enable us to come and worship together. And we pray for the world Christian community of all those who name thy name in holiness and in love. Bless us in this hour of worship, that we may prepare ourselves for lives of usefulness. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Man is endowed by God with a number of sensory powers. They are sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. It is generally believed that man's power to know is most closely associated with two of these senses, that of sight and hearing. While the two may be unduly isolated in our thinking, it is commonly believed that the Greek premium upon logic, symmetry, and beauty is based upon sight as the principal way of knowing, and that the Hebrew premium upon the psychological, the dynamic, and the personal is based upon hearing as a principal way of knowing. This difference is graphically portrayed in a quotation from a book by Bowman entitled Hebrew thought compared with Greek. This is the quotation. The matter is outlined in bold relief by two characteristic figures, the thinking Socrates and the praying Orthodox Jew. When Socrates was seized by a problem, he remained immobile for an interminable period of time in deep thought. When Holy Scripture is read aloud in the synagogue, the Orthodox Jew moves his whole body ceaselessly in deep devotion and adoration. The Greek most acutely experiences the world and existence while he stands and reflects. But the Israelite reaches his zenith in ceaseless movement. Rest, harmony, composure, self-control. This is the Greek way. Movement, life, deep emotion, and power. This is the Hebrew way. It is against the background of this distinction that we turn our attention in this chapel period to what I choose to call the religious virtue of hearing well. For the Hebrew mind, the most definitive term for reality is davar, a term which may mean word or thing. It means more than an intelligible sound made by human lips. It is a force within itself when spoken, much like an arrow released from a bow. To hear a word is to experience reality in a dynamic fashion. It is no wonder that God's ultimate humanly directed action is speech, and man's most noble response is hearing well. It is no wonder that the great period of Hebrew religion was the age of the classical prophets, to whom came the davar of Yahweh, and who became his spokesman. Rudolf Kittel puts the matter in these words. In this fact of the prevalence of hearing is expressed the essence of biblical religion. It is a religion of the word, because it is a religion of deed, of obedience to the word. The prophet is the carrier of the word of Yahweh which has happened to him, which demands obedience and fulfillment. The prophetic word, just like the creative word, goes forth from the mouth of God and will not return empty. To hear well in the Old Testament is to obey. That is, to respond to the challenge of the word, which is often in the form of a demand. Witness Judaism's great passage in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The word, then, is both indicative and imperative. Just as the Hebrew word shama may mean hear or obey. The word from God is an unexpected word. It is not human, though delivered by human lips. It is one of the tragic characteristics of late Judaism that it believed that the time of God's speech to man was all in the past. The duty of man became that of interpreter of the law, rather than hearer of the word of God. It is in this context that we return to the message of the New Testament. One of the distinctive marks linking Jesus with the best in Old Testament religion is his emphasis upon the religious virtue of hearing well. He came with a message from God, and the distinctive difference among all those who stood in his presence was whether they heard what he said as if it were the word of God. Jesus frequently admonished, "Let the one having ears to hear, hear." In the parable of the sower, as the Gospels present it, There is the realization that there are many kinds of hearers. Jesus admonishes no superficial response, but speaks of hearing well in terms of one who hears and does the word. Hearing well then creates unconditional response to the word of God. After the resurrection, there developed a Christian semantic change in that the idea of hearing well is carried along in the word to believe or to have faith. Paul talks about faith out of hearing. Faith is response to the preached word of God. It is obedience to God's call to salvation. Hear Romans 10, 14 through 17. And how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. The gospel is a preached word. It is a word about Jesus, but it is more. It is a word of Jesus. It is a word about the past, but it is a word about the present. The word of Christ is also a creative word. Those who respond are born anew. Hear 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. You have been born anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That word is the good news which was preached to you. In the fourth gospel, we see some of the most advanced Christological presentation in the New Testament. It is natural, then, to see how much in this book the word believe is emphasized. The climax of the book is reached when the empirical Thomas confesses, "My Lord and my God." But the blessings of future generations who must come to this awareness by the preached word is greater. Blessed are those who, though not seeing, are believing. It was not long in the Christian church before the Hebrew Christian mentality of hearing well was to encounter those who were equally sensitive to the Greek emphasis upon logic and semantics. The full range of Christian proclamation became an object of study and systematization. This interest focused upon the problem of being and naturally expended its greatest labors upon the question of the nature of the Redeemer. The appropriateness of this procedure is still being debated within the confines of present-day theology. It is a sign of great insight that the central theme of recent theology has been the Word of God. Whatever may be the future course of this discussion, one thing remains true. The Word of God is a preached word, encountering man as a hearer and making radical demands upon him. Let us remember long the true but unwritten beatitude, "Blessed are those who hear well, for theirs is the kingdom of God."